Okay, Shalom Rabosai, good night of Shabbos. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Vav. And I do just want to give a shout out and a thank you. There have been a couple of people who've reached out over the past couple of days to give me some chizuk for giving the shir. It's very much appreciated, and I hope the shir gives you as much chizuk as it gives me. Thank you very, very, very much again for the messages. All right, we're here on the bottom of Ham and Bays. And we've been discussing that there was a steer in a brisa. The brisa had said, on the one hand, you're not allowed to have, pasuk of lo yimatzei teaches me that you're not allowed to have a pikadon, or some sort of safekeeping, of chametz from a goy. On the other hand, we had learned that you're allowed to have other people's chametz, meaning goyim, goyim's chametz in your house. So, what's the deal? So, the Gemara had said that it depends if you're what's called kibbal alea achrayas, that if you're responsible for the chametz, meaning if the chametz gets lost, do you have to pay the goy back for it? If you do, so then it's considered to be in your possession, because we invoke the concept of davar hagorim lamamon kamamon dami, that something that could cost you a loss of money, that's considered to be, it's as if you own that object. And we had said that's actually a machlokes in Baba Kama. So according to the one who says that davar garim lamamon kamamon dami, that this chametz, which you would have to replace if you lose it, so that's as if you possess it, it's as if it's yours, because it could cause you a loss of money. So that makes sense. Okay, so that's why, that's the split between in the brisa, meaning if you have to pay it back, then it's yours, then you're not allowed to keep it. If you don't have to pay it back, so then it's not yours, and you are allowed to keep it in your house. But according to the one who says Devar Agorim Lamamon Lav Kamamon Dami, according to the other opinion that says it's not considered yours, so then this case of chametz is different, right? Because in Hanami, the chametz that you have in your house is not yours, but the pasuk says Lo Yimatzei. It'll be an extra chumma. Right? The pasuk says Lo Yimatzei. Right? You're even not allowed to have a goy's chametz, even though technically it's not really yours. So we hear by the Yikud Amri on the bottom. And it has a whole flip side of the discussion that we mentioned before. Ikad Amri, so some people say that Hanich al-Madamar Devar Hagorim l'mamon lav k'mamon dami, that this whole split in the Brisa, that whether it depends on whether you accepted Achrayas or not, works according to the guy who says that Devar Hagorim l'mamon is not considered to be yours, that something that could cause you a loss is not considered to be your property, because Hainu di Isrik lo yimatzei, because that's why you have a pasuk to teach me that it is yours. Meaning that the default is that it's not. So the pasuk says lo yimatzei, therefore you're not allowed to have it in your house. Okay, that's because the default is that if you had it in your house, it would not be considered yours. So therefore the pasuk teaches me, no, here by chametz, it is considered yours. Lo yimatzei, you shouldn't have it in your house. El laman da'amak mamon davi lo yimatzei lamali. So, but according to the guy who says that anything that could cause you a loss is considered to be yours, you don't need the pasuk of lo yimatzei. But obviously it's yours. Obviously you're not allowed to have the goy's chametz in your house. So Gemara says, it's strict. No, you actually do need it. Because salka da'it dechamina, you might have felt to say, hol ki ise hadar be'ene lav bershusei. Since you actually have the item, right, you would goy gives you a loaf of bread. Right? What happens at the end of a week? He says, keep this for a week. What do? You give back the actual item. What do you have to do? You don't pay him for it. I assume a loaf of bread is probably a bad example because it deteriorates. But let's say he gives you a piece of chametz that will still be the same at the end, or after a day, or after 20 minutes on Yontif, whatever it is. So since you might have thought that since you have to return the exact item as is, so maybe lav b'shusei koy, you might have thought that that's not considered to be yours. Right? Even though, yes, in a chanami, it's something that could cause you a loss, is lav k'mamon dami, but if you're going to give back the actual item that he gave you, maybe that's not actually, meaning it's not yet caused you a loss. Right? You still have the item. So you might have thought that that's lav b'shusei koy. Now then, you might have thought that something that could cause you a loss is only when the item is going to disappear. But when you're giving him back the original item, so then maybe not. Maybe you would think that that is not yours, that is not in your possession, and therefore it would be mutter for you to keep in your house, or kamash malan. So therefore, lo yimatzei, it teaches me that you're not allowed to actually have that chametz in your house. Okay, now that we talk about things that are not necessarily yours, the Gemara digresses for a minute, and says, Bo mine me Rava. They ask the following question for Rava. Behemas arnona chayevis bebichura o ein chayevis bebichura. A couple of phrases here that we need to just define. Arnona, first of all, means that the king will take a tax. Rashi says, Hamelech notel isur min habehema. Right, for a reason, the king has imposed a 10% animal tax. So an animal that belongs, that is going to be taken to this tax, taken by the tax. The king is going to take it. So the question is it chayiv in a bechor or not? Let's say this animal has a bechor. We know that in general, you give bechor, the firstborn animal goes to the kohen. But that is only true if the animal is completely belonging to a Jew. If you look at Rashi, chayiv v'bichura, because the kaim alon kol sheyad nachri ba'emza p'tura min v'chura. If a guy has any sort of ownership stake in this animal, it's potter. So the question is like this: if a king is going to take this animal for a tax, is that considered yad shel nachri? Is that considered as if the guy has some sort of ownership in this animal, therefore it's going to be potter from v'chura? If you're able to pay the king off with money, meaning it's a monetary tax and you just happen to be paying it with an animal, so no, so that's not a question, because for sure the chayiv, for sure it's chayiv in bechor, because you could just give the king a $100 bill or whatever, and you know the king has no inherent ownership in this animal. The question is, if the king, no, he really wants that cow. So the question is does that belong to the king partially or not? So Rava said, Petura, sure enough, it does belong somewhat to the king, and therefore it's Potter from being a Bechor. Ay, Vatanya Chayeves, didn't the Braisa say that in this scenario it would be Chayev and Bechor? So what's the difference? So Hasam, the Matsim Mitzalikle, Hatsam, the Matsim Mitzalikle. So the Gemara says, no, okay, so that in that case, where you're Chayev is where you're able to pay him off with money. Igadamri, another version, Amar Rava, Behemas Arnona, Ptura Ben Bechorah, that Rava again says that a Behema that's taken by the king is Potter from, you know, the Bechor. Even if you're able to pay him off with money, but what's chayiv? Isas arnona chayiv es bechala. That is a different din. Obviously, that you know, we don't do it so much nowadays because you know I take it back. Not everybody, but a lot of us buy challah in the store. But the din of challah is that if a woman makes, or a man also, but if someone makes challah from dough, it has to be big enough. I think the shear is nowadays is approximately 5 kilo. I'm not exactly sure, but either way, if you make enough dough, so you need to take challah, right? That goes to the kohen. Right? Challah is not necessarily the loaf. It's the chiyuv for us to give a part of the dough to the kohen. But if it's owned by a goy, then you don't have to. So the question is like this: if the king is going to take a piece of your dough, meaning there's a tax on, I don't know, wheat or dough or whatever it is. So, is in that case, what's the deal? So then, Isis Arnona Chayevis Bechala. Rava said that you are a Chayev in Chala. It's not considered to be as if the king has the guy has an ownership of it. Even though you're not all able to pay it off, meaning this is specifically a dough, wheat, whatever tax. My taima, why is that? So the Gemara says, Behema Isle Kala. Isa less like kala. That it's a reason. It's basically an issue of maris ayin. That really, I mean, midoraisa the dough is potter. I mean, it really midoraisa in both cases. The thing is potter. That you don't actually have to give chala or a bechora. But if there's, I mean, if a person sees another Jew just eating challah without taking challah, so you might have thought, oh, this guy violated the Isser of challah. No one knows, you know, whether he gave to the king from this challah or not. If the king is collecting animals, so that's something that's out in the open. So no one's going to think, you know, people hear about this. It's like challah, there's a cold, there's a, people hear about it. So no one's going to think that you didn't take miser, or in this case, give bechor from your animals. So that's actually the steer in brises. Meaning when it says chayeves, so then it's referring to the dough. When it says petura, then it's referring to the animal. That in echanami, in both cases, midaraisa, it's potter from either challah or bechora. But we're concerned that there's a maris ayin thing by the challah, because people are not necessarily going to realize that the dough was given to the king. And therefore, you know, you have to take challah from the dough. Okay, back to Pesach. Tanur Rabbanan. We know that Rabbanan, Nachri, Sheniknas, Lachatzer, Shal Yisrael, Ubatzeko, Beyado. Let's say you get a visitor on Pesach, and it's a guy, and he's holding a sandwich. UPS drops off, whatever. He's holding a sandwich. It's like, when it says, Ein Zako Levar. You do not have to burn it. Now, now, that doesn't mean that you have to, the Havamina would be that you should go with a flamethrower to the UPS guy and burn his sandwich. Right? Rashi says, no, you just have to ask him to leave. Right? You don't have to ask him to leave. Because he's owning his own chametz in your courtyard. But if kidu etzlo, if the guy gave it to you, and if he put it in your house, it's then zakur levar, then you have to get rid of it. Yiched lo bayis, if you gave him a house, Rashi says, kolomar lo kiblu alav, right, you didn't accept responsibility. Right, I mean, again, Rashi says that the kifkido etzlo means you accepted achrayis, you accepted responsibility, so then, right, then that chametz is considered yours. If yichid lo bayis, though, Rashi says, amarle, if he said to him, arei abayis lefanecha, here, my house is in front of you, hanach ba'achas min hazavios, put your chametz wherever you want in one of the corners, so then, interesting, ein zokek levayir, then you don't have to burn it. Shenemar lo yimatzeh. So the pasuk says, you shall not have chametz in your house. The Gemara says, my kamar. That pasuk says you can't have chametz, and you're telling me that if you, the guy comes in and you say, yeah, put the chametz over there, then you're allowed to keep it? Didn't the pasuk just teach me you're not allowed to keep it? What's going on over here? Some Rav Papa, Aresha Koy. No, really, that pasuk at the end is going on the first halacha in the Braisa. This is what it means to say. If the guy gave it to you and you took a chrayis and you're responsible for the chametz, so then zakuk levayir, then you have to burn it, shenemar lo yimatzeh, because the pasuk says you shall not have any chametz that you're responsible for in your house. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says, no, the olam ha-seifa koy. Really, that pasuk is going on the second part. What does it mean then? You're allowed to keep the chametz, but because it says lo yimatzeh, this is what it meant to say. Yichei lo bayis, if you gave him a part of your house to put the chametz down in, it's ein zakek levayir, shenemar lo yimatzeh bevateichem. Right? Since the pasuk says you shall not find any chametz in your house, and you gave him a part of your house to put his chametz in, then you don't have to get rid of it. The Gemara says, v'halavdi dehu. V'halavdi dehu. Meaning then that's the end of it. Meaning that that's the house is no longer his. It keeps on going a little bit. Dalavdi dehu. It said, and this is not yours because denachri could come ayal. They say denafshe come ayal because when the guy brings the chametz into that area of the house, it's as if he's bringing it into his own house. So the Gemara says, lameimra de schirus kanya. Are you telling me that renting acquires, meaning when you rent a house, when you rent an apartment, so you have acquired that halakhically? Right, the guy now owns that corner of your house? Right, because you told him you could put logically makes sense that he rented that area from you and to put his chametz, and now it's his? That's not within the Mishnah. Even in a place where we said, this is talking about to a guy, I assume the Gemara is in a Avodah Zarah, yeah, Chafalaf and Manalaf. Chazal asked people to rent out their houses to goyim because it was assumed that they would bring in their avodah zarah. Right, so they said, but in some places where you are allowed to rent things to a goy, lo lebeis dira, you're still not allowed to rent an apartment. You're allowed to rent other things. Right? I keep on stopping too early. Right, because Chazal were nervous that they would bring in avodah zarah into the house. And here's the kicker. And if you're telling me that if the guy who's renting the apartment, he now owns the place, so then he's bringing avodah zarah into his own house. Well, why is it your problem? Goyim, unfortunately, worship avodah zarah. We try to be a light unto the nations, but there's no isser. We're not enabling avodah zarah. The guy's going to bring it in. For us to have avodah zarah in our house, that's already a problem. But if you're telling me that a guy renting the house it becomes his, so why is it a problem to rent an apartment to a guy? Right? Yes, he's bringing a avodah zarah in there, but it's not yours. So the Gemara says, okay, enechin ami, right? That renting is not an acquisition; it doesn't acquire the place for the guy. But the pasuk says lo yimatzei, right? We have an extra chumra over here by chametz that even though technically. Even though technically you might have thought that renting is not an acquisition. So it should be usher. It should be usher over here. But the pasuk says lo yimatzei, right? Mi sheyatzui biyadcha, right? Anything that is able for you. You're able to use your hand. You're able to get it. You're able to get at it and use it, right? Excluding something that is not yours. Meaning the goy, right? The area where the goy put the chametz is not his, but it's as if you're not allowed to go in there. It's as if you're not allowed to access it. And therefore, since you know access is the issue, right? The pasuk says lo yimatze. That's the language in the pasuk. So therefore, that's going to be mutter. Okay. Fine. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Hamotzei Chametz Bebeso Beyomtiv. Different halacha now. Let's say you find, after all the beer and all the searching and all the spring cleaning, etc., so then you find Chametz in your house on Yomtiv. So what do? Kofa Alav Es Hakli. You put a utensil on top of it. Again, there's not going to be, you're not allowed to burn it. That's what we saw yesterday, that you're not allowed to, that's on Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to burn it, but you're not allowed to burn it on Yom Tov. That's unnecessary burning. But even though we mentioned that it's Machlokes by Shammai Beis Hillel, in terms of whether you're allowed to extend the Heter to burn on Yom Tov, so that's, again, we kind of, halachically, we kind of meet in the middle, and really you only are allowed to burn things Litzorech for some sort of purpose, some sort of use. So over here, you don't need to get rid of it, because the Gemara is going to say, I think today, I'm not sure, I think it's today, that, towards the end of the daf on the base, that you're going to do bittel. That even if you find a nice Entman's cake in your house, so if you did bittel properly in Erev Yom Tov, so then it's not yours. I mean, you're mevatel all the chametz in your house. So there's no pressing need to get rid of it, because it's not like you're owning chametz. You're not violating by the Rabbi Matzeh. We're just concerned that you're going to eat it. So on Yom Tov, that's not enough of a concern to allow us to burn it. So therefore, we cover it with a kli. Rava says, "Im shel hekdeshu, if it's actually chametz of hekdesh, then ain't it tzarech, then you don't need to. You can just leave it there." So Gemara says, "My time. What's the difference?" So the Gemara says, "Because mivdil bedile mine, because already hekdesh is already separated from people, and therefore we're not going to be concerned that they're going to mistakenly come and eat this food. Chametz, on the other hand, right? We eat chametz all the time, so we need the extra, the extra help to make sure we don't eat it." Let's say you have a goy's chametz in your house, so you make a mechitza that's 10 tefachim high, mishum heker, just to remind yourself that this is not chametz that you own, this is not chametz for you to eat. Make a little mechitza mishum heker, just to remind yourself. But if it's hekdesh's chametz, you don't need to, again, same reason, by time of middel bedile in shemine, people already refrain and they stay away from hekdesh regardless, so you don't need a reminder, right? Again, you have to use your imagination a little bit, unfortunately, because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the halachas of Hekdesh. You can imagine, right, pretend it was, I don't know if people have, non-kosher products in their house, but imagine if, for whatever reason, you were housing in your house some pig something or other, some pig lard, or, I don't know, whatever it is. Right, obviously you wouldn't touch it, you wouldn't eat it, it'd be so foregone conclusion that you're not going to touch this stuff. It's the same thing by Hekdesh. Back in the day, they wouldn't touch Hekdesh. If they had stuff that belonged to the Beis HaMikdash, there was no Havamina that anybody was going to eat it. It was so not in their brains or within the realm of possibilities that you didn't even need a reminder. So Chametz, right, obviously Chametz we eat all year round, so therefore we need that little extra reminder. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, another halacha, Hamafarish Vayotzi Vashayara. Let's say someone's going on a journey, someone's going on a trip. Right, we know Shayara from Ervin, that's already by a caravan, right, that already by the din of Mechitzos, etc. How big your see, I'm already losing it. It's a few days and I'm how big the Karpef is allowed to be. Okay, either way, but here you're going on a journey. This has nothing to do with Karpef or Mechitzos or whatever, based on pras, etc. So this is not that, but let's say you're going on a journey. Kodim Shloshim Yom Ein Zakeh Levayer. If you're going before 30 days, so then you don't need to burn your chametz. But Tok Shloshim Yom, but within 30 days, so then Zakeh Levayer, then you do have to get rid of your chametz already. Amar Abai, what are you talking about? Hadam Ad Tok Shloshim Yom Zakeh Levayer. Oh, sorry, that's Rava. Rava has a concussion. Abai says that which, I take it back. Rava says, start again. Amar Abai. Abai says, that which we said, if you go on a trip within 30 days of Pesach, you got to get rid of your chametz. That's only if you're coming back. But if you're picking up and going to Eretz Yisrael for the entire month, So then, Ein Zakeh L'Vayir, then you don't have to burn it. The chametz is kilu not accessible to you, but it's not even in the parsha. Right? Again, where are you going to sell it? That's already, that's not shaykh over here. Amar le Rava, Rava says, V'i b'dayto lachzor, right? Rava says, 1 second, if you're going to come back, so what's 30 days? Filo v'Rosh Hashanah, you should even have to, even if it's 6 months, right, you should have to, you know, get rid of the chametz, because you're coming back when you can come back to a house with chametz. Rava says, so Rava says it a little differently. That which we said, that before 30 days you don't need to burn it, that's lo amar neilashin da'ata lachzor. That's only if you're not coming back. But if you're coming back, then obviously you have to get rid of the chametz, but even if it's 6 months beforehand, you can't show up to a house in the middle of Yom Tov, not the Kolamai or whatever, with chametz. This is Rav Shita, the Amar Rava, Ha'osa Beso, Otsar, Kodim, Shloshim Yom, Ein Zakeh L'Vayir. If you make your house into a storehouse, into a storage area, Rashi says something interesting. Not sure exactly why you would do this, but he says, I guess, you know, if you're pressed for space, Hichnis Sham Tivua, two lines up in Rashi, Dibur Maskal Otsar. So Hichnis Sham Tivua, Vetachte Achametz. But you have Chametz in your house, you can imagine you have Chametz on the table. And I guess, you know, you had a wonderful harvest, and you have no space in the silo for all the grain. So you said, you know what, my in-laws got a place, I'll go to my in-laws for a bit, I'll put all the grain in my house. And so you don't lose, I guess that was their parnassa, right? They couldn't, it wasn't like you could just throw it out. So if you put all of the tevua in the house, and the chametz is underneath it, we're going to say soon, Rashi says, I think that's tomorrow's daf, maybe the day after. Chametz shenafla alav mapolas harayu kamavuar. If for whatever reason a chametz is underneath a ruin, so then it's as if it's burned, it's as if it's disposed of. Well, same thing over here. I mean, if you make your house into a storage area and you pile grain up to the ceiling, you can't possibly get to the chametz that's on the table. So if it's before 30 days, so then you don't have to burn it, you don't have to get rid of it. But tov shloshim yom. But if it's within 30 days, zen zakuk. Then within 30 days, right, meaning you should go, meaning l'chachila, that's not, as Rashi says, it's not the best way to do beer. Then therefore you should really, if you can, get it out and burn it. Square says, v'kodim shloshim yom nami lo aron shein da'ato lefnoso. And when we said that before 30 days you don't have to fix it, that's only if you're not going to then clear it out before Yom Tov. But if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna get rid of all the grain before Yom Tov, so then before 30 days, you have to get rid of the chametz that's on the table. So Gemara says, okay, honey, shloshim yom, I have it. Where did you get this 30 days? Where did it come from? It seems to be a little arbitrary. So Gemara says, it's not actually arbitrary. Show them the dorshin beilchas haPesach kodem haPesach shloshim yom. Because this is a halacha that perhaps you're familiar with, that we start learning the halachas of Pesach 30 days beforehand, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Shtei Shabbosos. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says 2 weeks. Now, Ina Hanami, that 30 days before Pesach is Purim. So I did have a Rebbe once, who was very elaborate with his Purim Torah, and he always made sure to have something to say about Pesach at his Purim Suda. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, there's a Ber Halacha that says it doesn't mean you actually have to start on Purim, it means you can start the day after. That, Purim, you should deal with Purim, as we said, the Gemara says at the end of Megillah, that you have to learn the holidays, the halachas of the holiday on the holiday. Now, it doesn't mention Purim, it mentions the Shalosh Regalim, but the idea to learn Torah on Purim, if you're going to learn holiday Torah on Purim, you should learn Purim Torah. Not Purim Torah as with a joke, but actual Torah about Purim. So, alright, either way, but Lamaisa, 30 days before Pesach, and that's the Tanakama, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says 2 weeks. My time at the Tanakama, where do they get this from? So they're going to base it on Pesukim. Sherei Moshe Omer the Pesach Rishon and Lazir al Pesach Sheni. We see that Moshe was standing on Pesach, and he was telling everybody about Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni, as we're going to learn later in the Masechta, towards the end, is if people are Tamei or too far away from the Beis HaMikdash, so they make their Korban Pesach, etc., Pesach Suda, Seder, etc., on Pesach Sheni, a month later, on the 15th of year. There's a tremendously inspiring thing this year, I think, if you saw, I'm not sure if you saw the videos, but there's a tzaddik by the name of Eli Beer, who's in charge of Hatzalah in Israel. And he, you know, Rachman Litzlan, Baruch Hashem, he's better now, but Rachman Litzlan, he was in a coma because of COVID on Pesach. He was put out for like 3 weeks or so, and he recovered, and he made Pesach Sheni. Now, obviously, he didn't make Korban Pesach, but he made a Seder on the 15th of Iyar, and obviously, because it's Tanyatef, he videoed the whole thing. It was very, very, very emotional. He's very, you know, obviously, tremendous Hakar Satov. Anyway, so that's the concept of Pesach Sheni. So Moshe had told Am Yisrael about Pesach Sheni on Pesach Rishon. That's 30 days before. The Shemar, the Pazuk says, Vayasu b'nei Yisrael, so Pesach b'mo'ad o'ksiv, Vayen Hashem Asher hayu tmeim l'nefesh adam. The people were tamei, and they said, we can't do the Korban Pesach, what do we do? And Moshe told them about Pesach Sheni. So you see that it was 30 days before. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, l'cha, Rav Shimon Gamliel says that's not a good proof, because once Moshe was talking about the halachas of Pesach, so he just mentioned everything. Right? Pesach Sheni is part of halachas of Pesach, so he just mentioned everything. That's not a good proof. Okay, my time with Rav Shimon Gamliel. So where does Rav Shimon Gamliel get 2 weeks from? Sharei Moshe omeid barosh hachodesh shumazir al Pesach ala Pesach, because you see from the psukim that Moshe was talking on Rosh Chodesh and he said, all right, everybody, in 15 days we're going to make Pesach. Shemar, the pasuk says, "Achodesh zelach and rosh chodesh imuksiv," and then it says, "Dabril bnei Yisrael el kol adas Yisrael lemor beasor lachodesh zevi chula lahem ish zelah veisavos zelah bais etc. etc." What you see is achodesh zelachem, right? We read it every yontif. This is the, you know, for, this month is for you, is the first of the month, right? And we're going to make Pesach. And the pasuk says we're going to do Pesach. So the Gemara says, "Well, we might debrish yarcha kai. Maybe how do you know Moshe was on Rosh Chodesh?" Maybe it's just the fourth or the fifth of the month. And he said, okay, this month for you, Nisan, is the first of all months, and we're going to do Pesach in a couple of days. So that pasuk doesn't say specifically that he's talking on Rosh Chodesh. No, rather from this pasuk. That's the first pasuk. No, sorry, that's later in Sefer Bamidbar, that in Parshas Baloscha, Naso, that Hashem, well, either way, I'm not sure, Parik Tess, I think it's in Naso, that Hashem spoke to Moshe in this, on the, in Midbar Sinai, right? And then it says, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael as a Pesach b'ma'ado, and b'nei Yisrael should make the Korban Pesach in the appropriate time. So you see that, again, what does the pasuk say? It was in the second year, on the first of the month, and in the first month, and then it says everybody should make the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says, Achinami, might it be the Reish Yarcha Koi, Dilma Barba Biyarcha, or Bechamisha Biyarcha Koi. Again, that pasuk also doesn't say it was on Rosh Chodesh, it says it was in the second year, in the first month, and then Bnei Yisrael did Korban Pesach. So, again, you have no proof for 2 weeks. So Ranach Bar Yitzchak, Asya Midbar Mi Midbarks. You have a gzeir shava from the word midbar to the word midbar over here, right? Here it says b'midbar Sinai, b'miksiv ha'acha b'midbar Sinai, right? B'miksiv ha'asam, and it says over there, and this is pasuk, is the first pasuk in b'midbar, v'yidbar Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'ol moed. Here we have b'echad l'chodesh ha'sheni, on the first day of the second month, meaning on the first day of Iyar, as Hashem was speaking on Rosh Chodesh to Moshe in the midbar Sinai. Ma'alahalim b'rosh chodesh, avkan b'rosh chodesh, so too. 8 prakim later, at the beginning of the ninth parak, when Hashem is also talking to Moshe, it's also on Rosh Chodesh. So Gemara says, "V'nichtav bereisha dechodesh rishon, v'ado nichtav dechodesh sheni." So the Gemara now asks a different question. Hold on one second. You said that the first pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar is Hashem speaking to Moshe on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Therefore, 8 prakim later, at the beginning of the ninth parak, Hashem again speaks to Moshe. Right, b'chodesh shana sheni, b'chodesh harishon, in the first month, it also must be on Rosh Chodesh. So, at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, it's on Rosh Chodesh Iyar. 8 prakim later, it's on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So, why is the order switched? Right, man, why did the Torah write it like that? Right, v'nichto b'risha d'chodesh rishon, v'ado nichto d'chodesh sheni. Why did the Torah write what happened in Iyar first, and then write about what happened in Nisan? So, Amar Rav Menashe, Baruch Tachliva, Mishmei D'Rav. This is a concept that gets thrown around a lot. Zos Ameres in Mukdam Umuchar Batorah. Apparently, there is no order in the Torah. Now, just to clarify, there's Big Machlokas, Rashi, and the Ramban, as in terms of how widely and broadly to apply this concept. Rashi, if you've learned Rashi El Chumash, applies this all the time. throws her in mukta mukha batora. This is an out of order, etc., etc. The Ramban says, yeah, you know when there's in mukta mukha batora? When the Torah tells you. When the Torah has specific dates and things are out of order, right, that's when in mukta mukha batora. Meaning, is this the rule or is this the exception? Rashi says, okay, this is the rule. In general, in mukta mukha batora, the Ramban says, no. This is the exception. This is the Torah wrote these dates because the general rule is yesh mukdam umuchar batorah. Okay, either way, just so you should be aware. But the Gemara says over here, in mukdam umuchar batorah, based on the fact that we have these psukim that are clear that one happened before the other. Rav Papa says, lo amran ela betrei inyane. And that's only if you're talking about two different topics, that in mukdam umuchar batorah. Aval binyana bechad inyana. But in one story, what happened came first, and what happened second came second. Meaning, within the story, I don't know, of Korach, this is obvious, it's a stupid example, but obviously Korach protested, and then he was swallowed up by the pit. That's a terrible example, but yes, meaning in one topic, there's going to be an order, even though in Mukdam Mukha Batorah. Dilo Temahachi, and I'll prove it to you, Rav Papa says, because Klalu Prat. In bechlal mashiv prat dilma pratu klal hu. Sorry. Just to go a little. If you read, in Rabbi Yishmael, we have a different ways to learn to darshan out the Torah. So you have what's called the klal prat, where you have a general rule and then a specific example, and we learn that we assume that in bechlal ela mashiv prat, that we specify that there can only be like this specific example. The general rule can only apply to examples that are specific, that are similar to the specific example given in the Chumash. But Pratu Klal is learned differently. So if you tell me there's no order, meaning Klalu Prat is different than Pratu Klal. Right? If you have a specific example and then a general rule, or a general rule and a specific example, we're going to darshan those things differently. But if there's no order in the Torah, right, so you just threw that whole concept out. How does that even work? Right? You can never tell what's first, right, and how you should learn things. So that's Rav Papa's proof. Just to read it again in the text. Right? Maybe it's a pradu klal instead of a klalu prat. Vesu pradu klal, right? And same thing the other way. For a pradu klal, when you have a specific example, then a general rule, so nasa klal mosif ala prat. The general rule adds on to the specific example. Well, dilma klalu pratu, maybe it's the other one. Maybe it's you should darshan it the other way. So that's the proof that I have to have you know that within one topic there needs to be some sort of order. Well, if that's true, well, why is that only specific to one topic? I feel betrayed, yani nami. Even in two topics, right? If you have a klalu prat that spans two different topics that in different areas in the Chumash, so apparently you have an order in the rest of the Chumash as well, because we darshan out klalu prats, they're not always next to each other. So Gemara says, well, okay, hanichal amadamar klalu prat de meruchakim zemizeh ain't done no so. But well, this only works out according to the one who says. Meaning, this question is only. Meaning, it all works out. This question is not a question according to the guy who says that's a machlokas. Where is that Gemara? Bavakama? Yeah, Bavakama. A couple places. Bavakama, Menachos, Nida. Okay. So this all is fine, and the question you just asked me is not a question, according to the one who says you don't judge a klalu prat if it's too far away from each other. So that's shapir, right? Then that works out. Al lamanda amar donan, but according to the one who says that you do say we can learn a klalu prat, a prat klal from different areas in Chumash, so ma'ilikal neymar. So what are you going to say? I mean, what's the difference? Why did you differentiate between one inyan and another inyan? So the Gemara says, I feel amanda amar donan, even according to the guy who says that we will make some sort of limud from a pratu klal who are not next to each other. So this all works out that within one topic, within one inyan, there's going to be order, but within two inyanim, there's not necessarily order in the Chumash, because hanimili b'chad inyana, avol etrei inyani ein dani. That's only within a specific, meaning when the two different areas are within one topic. For example, you have in Parshas Shmini and in Parshas Re'eh, the kosher birds. So if you were, I'm not saying there is, but if there were to be a klalu prat across the Chumash, one in Shmini and one in Re'eh, meaning the klalu, let's say, for example, would be in Shmini and the prat would be in Re'eh, so then that's fine. Meaning that he will agree that we will learn a klalu prat across vast spaces in Chumash. But Betrei and Yaniv, if they're totally different topics, so then Ein Dani, then we don't learn a Klal Prat, and then you can say that there's a split between whether there's an order between one in one topic there will be an order, but in two topics there's not necessarily an order to the Chumash. Okay. Again, in Ekonami, from this Hemshech of the Gemara, it does seem like Rashi, that we do apply a broad Ein Mutam U'Mucha B'Torah across the entire Chumash. Okay, the Ramban definitely has one to say about that, but right, anyway, either way. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Let's start this topic a little bit, because it's a little too high up on the daf to stop. Habodik Tzarech She'ivatel. So we had said, again, at the beginning of the Sefer, we do Bedikas Chametz, and again, you have the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos as to why we do Bedika. Even though we do Bittul, what's the purpose of the Bedika? Right? And Rashi had said, so you don't violate Ba'yirel Ba'yimatzei. Tosfos had said, because you might find something, and you might absentmindedly find a piece of Chametz and eat it, so we want to try make sure to get rid of the Chametz. Okay, but regardless, even if you do Bedika, you still need to do Bittul. You still need to do Bittul. The Gemara says, my time up. What's the reason you need to do Bittul, even though you do Bedika, right? We asked the question the other way at the beginning of the Mesechta, but what is the reason why you have to do Bittul now that you did Bedika, right? There's not going to be any Chametz, right? You got rid of the Chametz, so what do you have to do Bittul for? So, Inim and Mishum Pirurin, and if you'll tell me it's because of the crumbs that you probably missed because you didn't, move your couch or whatever, your kid dropped them behind the toilet. So, okay, Halacha Shive. So, if that's not Chashiv, right? You're not Chayv or Ba'yirel Ba'yimatzei for little tiny crumbs, or they're not yours, they're not considered to be significant at all. The chitema, maybe you'll tell me, came with the mintar lugu agav besei chashive, maybe since you lock your house for other reasons, right, for your actual possessions, right, chashive, maybe then the crumbs are considered to be chashiv because of that guarding, because of that locking of the house, so that's not true. We find that tiny, we learn the rabbi, says, sofe te'enim, the end of the season of the figs, meaning if you have figs that are left on the tree at the end of the season, meaning they're not worth much, or if anything, but you're still guarding the same field because you have grapes in the same, obviously that you can't really have grapes in the same exact field, but in the big field, in the bigger area, right, and you're guarding the field because there are grapes, sofe te'enim, or you have the end of the grape harvest and the little tiny grapes that are left on the vine, which you don't care about, but you're guarding the field for your gourds. So if the guy actually wants those items that are at the end of the harvest, they're really not worth much, then they belong to him. And therefore, you can't steal them, and the guy has to give meiser when he collects them from the field. But b'smach ein balabais makpid aleihem. But if he doesn't care at all about this stuff, so then mutar mishum gezel mutar min meiser. Then they don't belong to him, and if you could quote unquote steal them, and you wouldn't have to give meiser if you harvested them because they don't belong to him. They're there because there's a behefker. So the crumbs that you have in your house, even though you lock your house, right? They're not going to consider chashiv just because you lock your house. You don't care about the crumbs that are not worth anything. So we're back to the same question. Why do we do bittul if you're going to do bedika? There's going to be no chametz around. So Amarava, Gzeira, Shema, Yimatze, Gluske, Yafe, Vedaita, Eluya. Because maybe you'll find an actual piece of chametz, a nice piece of chametz. And then, Vedaita, Eluya, you might think about it for a second. As says Rashi, what does that do? Right, it's a good piece of cake. And you'll think, I don't really want to burn this. And umasha filu rega echad. Again, the Rashi right across. And you'll wait even 1 second, and in that 1 second, nitsa over a love by Rabbi Yimatze. Then you're violating by Rabbi Yimatze. Think about it. If you thought you had no chametz in the house, you did bedika. You didn't do bittul. You just did bedika. You cleared out the house. Then all of a sudden, you go to the back, and in the back of the pantry, nice piece of cake, a nice piece of whatever. So you think of the moment you think about it for 1 second, then you violate by your body wants it because you wanted it for that 1 second. It was yours for that 1 second. Avamishin bittla. But if you again continuing in Rashi, but if you do bittul, what does the bittul do on Erev Pesach? Ain't over the low cost of Ella Tashbisu. I mean, in that case, you're not going to be violating Ba'yirel Ba'yimatzei because you mevatel it. We're not going to say that one moment of hesitation is going to nullify, is going to get rid of the nullification is going to get rid of the bittul that you did on Erev Pesach. Ah, the Gemara says, okay, so what do you have to do bittul on Erev Pesach for? I said, just need to find the cake. Okay, bittul. Oh, cake. Fine, bittul. I don't want it. It's not mine. I'm not interested. So the Gemara says, don't want mishkachas levasar isura, because maybe you'll find it after it's usur, meaning it's after it's usur to eat chametz, and then in that case, bilah b'shusay kaima, then already it's not yours. It's no longer yours to be able to do bittul. You can no longer say, it's not mine anymore. Aye, so then why is it usur? Why do you violate bayirah b'yimatzeh, if it's not yours? Why is it then therefore also mishum bayirah b'yimatzeh? Because shnei dvarim ena b'shusa shal adam ve'asa makasav ki'ilu b'shusa. Because there are two things that the Torah that really does not belong to a person, but the Torah said, you know what? This is yours. This is going to turn into a violation. And these are them. The first one, just to talk about our topic, is chametz. That's what we're talking about. And the second one is bor b'rishus haravim. If a person digs a pit in the public thoroughfare, obviously public area, it's not his. But in terms of nezikin, that's already, you know, gemaras we will get to in a couple of years, mitzvah Hashem. But in terms of nezikin, so that's going to be yours. That's going to be yours. You're going to be liable if someone falls in there and there's some sort of damages you're going to have to pay. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll go weiter. This Gemara continues on to Zayin and Aleph, but we'll go weiter on Motzei Shabbos. Have a tremendous Shabbos and a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.